Okay, ready.
Welcome to the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1 Board of Commissioners Special Meeting. It's 5:33, and we are going to begin with the HIPAA training today, so I'm going to hand things over to Heather Volga, you wear several hats here.
I do, actually. I'm the executive assistant and the HIPAA compliance officer, and soon to be wellness officer.
Soon to be
wellness
officer.
As well. I'm an RN, so I'm going to utilize all my thinking. But tonight really is the HIPAA training is basically to give you guys a basic understanding of what HIPAA is and is not, and what standards people are held to. As you said before, people have come up to you and just skewed their entire story and what you can and cannot do with that and what you should and should not do with it. I also have here for anybody who is interested, I already know you're not, for ride-alongs.
If
you want to be able to do a ride-along, you do need to fill out and sign this form. It has the HIPAA and also a waiver for any responsibility for risk, involved. So if you want to do that, just see me and I'll make sure that you have the form to go fill out. If you want to think about it, my office is right there. You guys can come by and grab one to fill out later. Okay.
And you can talk to either Heather or myself about that. And that's just basically, if you're interested in being in the back of the ambulance and seeing what we do, you are more than welcome.
Yep. I'm just worried I would pass out. That's why.
We can fix that.
We scheduled you for every Friday.
You could
be passing on the right place.
Yeah, I suppose I could be, but I'd be more than
So if you wanted to
we'll get a seat
over here,
we have a special segment, healthcare in action.
Yeah, exactly.
I can see this.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever you want to do, Trish. I set aside these seats over here for you guys, though.
And I'm it's going to be loud, and it's going to be a little bit difficult to see this. If you want to sit over here, that's no problem.
He's nice.
I think I'm stay where I am.
But you should be, good, right? You can sit there if you'd like. You should be able to see it just fine from there. You can be Mark for a little while.
Hi, I'm Doug Wolfberg.
And I'm Steve Wirth. And this is HIPAA TV Special Edition, bringing you the latest privacy issues affecting EMS professionals.
We keep you informed by covering real-life EMS scenarios involving providers, billers, and others. And we provide proven strategies to deal with the HIPAA issues you face every day.
Also joining us is our HIPAA field reporter, Ryan Stark.
Thanks, guys. Today I'm out covering top HIPAA issues at EMS. You'll watch firsthand how EMS professionals deal with real-life scenarios, and then we'll recap what went right and what went wrong. All right, headed off to my first location. Back to you.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll check back shortly. A few important points at the top of the broadcast. First, remember that protecting a patient's health information is a fundamental responsibility when you work in EMS. Not only are you required by the federal law called HIPAA to safeguard information, you also have an ethical obligation to keep that information confidential. And that duty applies both on and off the job.
Second, if you see something that looks like a HIPAA violation, report it, no matter how minor you may think it is. Your agency must know whenever health information is misused, lost, or stolen, because there might be a legal duty to report it. You would want to know if your information was improperly used or shared, and your patients have a right to know too.
Third, HIPAA is restrictive when it comes to patient information. But the law still allows you to use patient information properly to perform your job. HIPAA promotes the best interests of the patient.
Finally, if you have questions, talk to your agency's privacy officer. Every EMS agency must have a designated official privacy officer. There is a national credential called the Certified Ambulance Privacy Officer, or CAPO, and every EMS agency should have at least one CAPO in their organization. If you don't know who your agency's privacy officer is, find out as soon as this broadcast ends. And if your privacy officer is ever unavailable when you have a question, go to a supervisor. Before we get to our first real-world scenario, HIPAA TV starts off with keeping you in the know. Something all EMS professionals need to know about HIPAA is that it's centered around Protected Health Information, or PHI, and what you can and can't do with it. PHI is information that relates to healthcare or payment for a patient's services and identifies or could identify a patient.
In EMS, PHI can include information in dispatch records, patient care reports, records from facilities and other providers, and payment records like bills and claim forms. It may include things you hear and observe while you're responding to calls, conducting QA at the station, or processing claims in the billing office. Pretty much any patient-related information you see or hear in your EMS role is likely to be PHI.
Two final points on PHI. First, PHI can come in any form, like digital images and conversations where the patient can be identified. Second, information can be PHI even when you don't use the patient's name. A patient can be identified in many other ways.
Wait a second. We have some breaking news, Doug. We've just received a report of a questionable Facebook post from an EMT in Podunk County. HIPAA TV has a copy of the post. Let's take a look. As you can see, it's a picture of a car in a vehicle crash with a post that states, "This is what happens when you drive too fast. Hashtag major head trauma on Interstate 95.
And the EMT who posted this has just issued a statement. She says, "My post did not violate HIPAA because the picture doesn't show the patient or mention the patient's name." And that post is from Linda Smith, EMT.
Yes, it's true. We don't see the patient's name or the patient in the post. But look at what we do see. Here's the license plate of the patient's car. This is considered identifiable information and may be enough for someone to be able to identify a patient.
And this hashtag relates to the patient's physical condition and the location of the accident. With one click, you can link to this EMT's Facebook page and see that she works for Podunk County. It's not hard to figure out that she was one of the EMS providers on this call.
No doubt. And someone seeing this post could connect this to a police report in a news article naming the driver. The police are not restricted by HIPAA in the same way that healthcare providers are when it comes to releasing health information to the public.
Bottom line, this post contains PHI. Remember, even if you think something doesn't identify a patient just because it doesn't use their name, it can still be PHI. That's why you should never post anything on the internet about a call.
That's right, Doug. Okay, now let's go to our field reporter, Ryan Stark, who is on location in an ambulance service reception area, and he's holding a document. Ryan?
Hey, Steve. I'm here at Ultra Ambulance Service, and I'm looking at a physician certification statement, otherwise known as a PCS. It was faxed from a facility to Ultra Ambulance. The problem is, this PCS has the name and the logo of Super Duper Ambulance at the top, and Ultra Ambulance has never heard of this patient. I have Nancy here from Ultra's billing department. Nancy, what do you think you should do about this?
Well, the facility clearly faxed us the PCS by mistake, so we're going to give them a call and let them know about it.
And what are you going to do with this PCS?
Well, it's not our PHI, so we'll just throw the PCS in the trash.
Thanks, Nancy. Obviously, this PCS was intended for another ambulance service, but it looks like Ultra Ambulance might be confused about what its duties are here. Doug, what do you think?
Well, it looks like Nancy is on the right track by calling the facility to let them know they faxed PHI to the wrong recipient. But what about her statement that the PCS is not their PHI, so she can just throw it in the trash? Steve?
Well, Nancy has it wrong here. PHI includes information created or received by a healthcare provider, even if the information is received in error. Your agency has a duty to protect records you receive from other healthcare providers, including dispatch records, face sheets, facility records, and reports from other first responder agencies. This is true whether or not that PHI pertains to your patients. That PCS is now Ultra Ambulance's PHI.
That's right. And instead of just throwing the PCS in the trash can, it should be shredded when it's no longer needed. make sure you know when and how to dispose of paper PHI at your agency.
And it might be a good idea for the privacy officers of these agencies to discuss how best to handle this innocent mistake. If something like this happens at your agency, report it to your privacy officer. Now it's time for HIPAA TV on Your Side, where we cover the rules for using and disclosing PHI. As we said, HIPAA is restrictive when it comes to PHI. In fact, you can't use or disclose PHI unless HIPAA specifically says you can.
The good news is HIPAA generally allows you to use and share PHI to do the things that are necessary for your job. The three main purposes for which you can use or disclose PHI, even without the patient's permission, are treatment, payment, and healthcare operations. We refer to these as TPO for short.
Let's start with treatment. HIPAA allows you to use PHI for any purpose related to patient care. That means you can talk to anyone involved in the patient's care, including providers outside your agency, the patient's spouse, family members, and even non-family members when it's necessary to properly treat the patient. You can also share records and information with anyone who is involved in the care for the patient. HIPAA should never stand as a roadblock for treating the patient.
Next up is payment. HIPAA lets you use PHI to file claims with insurers to get paid for services. HIPAA also allows you to follow up and contact people that might be responsible to pay the patient's bill.
Finally, the O in TPO stands for operations. HIPAA allows your agency to use PHI for internal activities like quality improvement, licensure, and other things related to the management of your agency.
There's only one caveat when disclosing PHI for P, payment, or O, operations purposes. You may only disclose the minimum amount of PHI that is necessary to accomplish the purpose of these disclosures. Now, that restriction doesn't apply to disclosing PHI necessary as part of treating the patient.
That's right. Here's a quick real-world example. If you're reviewing a PCR at the QA committee meeting, you should take out the patient's name and address before giving the PCR to the committee members. It's just not necessary information for performing clinical QA.
And here's a good rule of thumb. Anytime you are about to use or disclose PHI, ask yourself, is this for treatment, payment, or healthcare operations? If it's not, you might need to ask your privacy officer whether you can disclose the information.
And always follow your agency's policies when using or disclosing PHI.
All right, now let's go back on location with our field reporter, Ryan, coming to us from the crew lounge of Super Duper EMS.
Thanks, Doug. I'm camped out in the back of the crew lounge of Super Duper EMS, waiting the return of a medic unit from an overdose call. The boyfriend of the paramedic on that call is hanging out right over there, waiting for his girlfriend, Julie, to finish up her shift. He used to work here, but now he works at another job. Looks like Julie's walking in right now.
Hey, you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
You okay?
Yeah. Long night. Had another overdose patient.
Yikes. You guys have been getting a lot of those lately. A lot more than when I was here.
Yeah, you remember John Smith? The super talented basketball player from East High?
Yeah, I actually played basketball with him sophomore year. He OD'd?
Yep, it was nasty. He was unconscious right in the middle of 2nd Street. I was the one who gave him the Narcan and brought him out of it.
That's crazy. I gotta tell Sam and John.
Hey guys, this is Ryan. I'm already back in the HIPAA TV news van, off to my next assignment. I'll kick it back over to the studio to you to recap what we just saw at Super Duper Ambulance.
Thanks, Ryan. This scenario brings up an important point for providers. Neither Julie's disclosures to her boyfriend, nor the boyfriend's disclosures to his buddies are related to treatment, payment, or operations. Simply put, you shouldn't be sharing information with people who have no business having that information.
That's right, Steve. The medic on the call here had no work-related reason to share the information with her boyfriend. She clearly violated HIPAA by sharing the information with someone who wasn't even involved with the care of the patient. And we may think that these conversations aren't a big deal, but imagine how you would feel if a friend or a family member heard about your medical condition because an EMS provider improperly shared it with them.
Okay, let's go back now to Ryan, who's on the scene at Memorial Hospital. Ryan, How did you get there so fast? Were you using red lights and sirens?
I'm the HIPAA guy, Steve. I don't reveal my secrets, and that's more than you need to know. I'm on scene here at Memorial, where two medics are bringing a patient into the ER. The medics are standing in a packed waiting room, and a nurse is approaching them. It looks like some of the patients are waiting within earshot of the conversation. Let's listen in.
Hey, what do you have?
This is John. He's a 16-year-old male involved in a motor vehicle accident. He was the restrained driver of a Prius that left the road and struck a tree at maybe 20, 25 miles per hour. Said he can't remember why the car left the road, but he did self-extricate.
Okay, injuries?
No reported loss of consciousness. Denies any head, neck, or back pain. He does have a deformity to his right wrist, rated at about an 8 out of 10. Gave him 2 milligrams of morphine about 10 minutes ago. He said it helped a lot with the pain, and he's been good the rest of the way in.
Okay, I think we're good for now. Thanks. Okay, John, let's take a look at that wrist.
As you just saw, many times other people are around in EMS. When we're treating patients, whether beyond the scene, in the ER, or even in someone's house. But that doesn't mean it's a HIPAA violation whenever somebody overhears a conversation about the patient. HIPAA allows for incidental disclosures of PHI. If you're doing your job and you need to make a valid treatment-related disclosure about the patient, you're allowed to do that. The medic here was communicating with the nurse for treatment-related reasons and making sure appropriate information about the patient was being conveyed to the hospital. It would be hard to prevent others within earshot from possibly overhearing the medic's report, at least in this situation. Steve, back to you.
Our field reporter is certainly moving at warp speed today. This is a good time to remind our viewers that anytime you're providing care and there are others around, you should be aware and take all reasonable steps to minimize the chances of them overhearing PHI. But you can't always prevent others from overhearing everything. And the rule on incidental disclosure says this is not a HIPAA violation as long as you're acting reasonably.
Good point. You never know who's listening. And while we're covering incidental disclosures, let's hit on a few other things that HIPAA allows. It's not a HIPAA violation to have two patients in one ambulance, even though one might overhear PHI about the other. The same goes for bystanders on the scene or others who are around when you're providing care. While you should be sensitive about minimizing the chances that they'll overhear PHI, your primary purpose is to care for your patient. And if PHI is overheard in the process, it's not a HIPAA violation.
We often get questions about radio communications because people could be listening out there in scanner land. HIPAA permits radio communications related to patient care. If you don't need to use the patient's name, then don't. But if the hospital needs to know the patient's name, you can disclose the patient's name over the radio. Just try to avoid that whenever it's not necessary.
Speaking of scanner land, let's talk about disclosing patient information to law enforcement officers. Now, this is a big issue that EMS providers deal with almost every day. And there are a lot of misconceptions about what EMS providers can and can't say to the police.
Let's go back live to Ryan, who is now on the scene of a medical emergency at Sunny Park in Pretty City.
Yeah, Steve, I'm here in Pretty City. Had my scanner turned up to 11, and I'm now at Sunny Park, where EMS providers are tending to a man who is lying on the ground. I'm told by bystanders that they saw this man collapse, and his arms were shaking and jerking while he was on the ground for about a minute or so. One of those bystanders that I interviewed has a sister with epilepsy, and she said it looked like a seizure to her. Now a police officer is approaching. Let's listen in.
Sir, what's going on today?
I'm not sure.
Do you have any kind of medical problems?
I take seizure medication.
Okay.
Hey, guys, what's going on with this guy?
He had some kind of medical event.
Did he OD? Did you give him Narcan?
Nah, he doesn't look like that.
All right. What's his medical condition?
I can't get into that right now, man.
All right. Where are you guys going to take him?
Down to the community general hospital.
All right. Here's my card. Can you just have him give me a call when he gets out of the hospital?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
EMS providers are often approached by law enforcement out in the field, and EMS agencies like to maintain a good rapport with the police. But HIPAA limits the disclosures that you can make to law enforcement. EMS providers should remember that they are patient care advocates, not law enforcement agents. The EMT here got it right by not sharing medical information with the officer. There is no indication that a crime was being committed, nor that the patient was a crime victim, where it might be appropriate to share some patient information with the police. Now back to the studio.
Thanks, Ryan. HIPAA doesn't apply to the police. That means the police officer wasn't violating HIPAA by asking the EMT for information about the patient. The police can also speak directly to a patient and ask the patient questions about their condition. So, if you have a stable patient and treatment wouldn't be compromised by waiting a minute or two to allow the police officer to speak with the patient, it's not a HIPAA violation to allow the officer to do so. But make sure patient care is always the priority.
That's right, Doug. The police can't violate HIPAA, but EMS providers can if they release health information when HIPAA doesn't allow it. There's no exception under HIPAA that would have allowed the EMT to release the seizure patient's information to the police officer. So the EMT was correct in not sharing the information.
Let's take a look at the six law enforcement exceptions under HIPAA. First, you can share PHI with the police whenever the law in your state requires you to do so. For example, state laws might mandate you to notify the police regarding certain types of injuries, like gunshot wounds, burns, or animal bites, to name a few possibilities. But state laws vary, so be sure to ask your privacy officer about the requirements that may exist in your state.
Second, you may disclose PHI to the police to help them identify or locate a suspect, fugitive, material witness, or missing person. These are typically urgent circumstances, so HIPAA doesn't require that these kinds of requests be in writing.
Third, you can disclose to the police PHI about a person who you believe is the victim of a crime. Simple verbal agreement from the patient is all you need to share the information. Of course, you should document that the patient gave verbal permission for you to disclose their information to law enforcement. If it's a situation where your patient is unconscious or can't give you permission for some reason, and the police need the information immediately for investigative purposes, you may still disclose patient information about a crime victim to the police, but only if you believe the disclosure is in the best interest of the patient, and only if the officer agrees that the information won't be used against the victim.
Fourth, HIPAA allows you to disclose information to law enforcement about someone who died when it appears the patient died as a result of criminal activity. As long as you have a reasonable, good faith belief, you may notify law enforcement.
The fifth law enforcement exception is when a crime occurs on your premises. If a crime occurs in your station or in the back of an ambulance, such as an assault against a crew member, you may notify law enforcement to report the matter, even if it means disclosing patient information about a person involved.
Sixth, there's a general exception that allows you to report a crime in emergencies. You may let law enforcement know about the commission and nature of a crime, the location of the crime or of the victim, and the identity, description, and location of the perpetrator.
When it comes to disclosing health information to law enforcement, there are very specific exceptions under HIPAA.
Here are a few tips for dealing with law enforcement. First and foremost, always be a patient advocate. And then only disclose PHI to law enforcement when you know you're required by law to disclose it, or releasing the PHI would prevent imminent harm to someone, or the patient authorizes you to disclose the information. Remember that the police can always speak directly to the patient either at the scene if the patient is stable, or later at the hospital.
Now, let's go to the HIPAA TV provider hotline, where EMS providers call in about stories in the world of EMS. We have paramedic Sally Smith on the line, who apparently just clocked out from her shift. She's one of the providers who responded to an accident involving Olympic curling great Stone Brusher. Hey, Sally, can you tell us what happened?
Hi, yeah. Mr. Brusher's car veered off the road and struck a telephone pole on Route 28 southbound. When we got there, it was clear that he was under the influence of drugs. He admitted that to me personally while we were treating him.
Sally, do we know what he was on?
We think it might have been ice because his pupils were really dilated and he had a rapid heart rate and respirations.
Well, we've heard of other curlers using ice as well. Sally, what can you tell us about his injuries?
Well, he hit his head on the windshield and he probably has a concussion and numerous facial injuries and a crushed right leg. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to curl again.
Why do you say that, Sally?
Well, I've been on a lot of calls, and I've never seen a leg in that bad of shape.
Wow, thanks, Sally. And by the way, thank you for your service to our community.
Oh, yeah, sure. Thank you.
Well, shocking news about Star Olympic curler Stone Brusher right here on the HIPAA TV provider hotline.
Now, in case you viewers are wondering why we didn't stop that call in its tracks, it's because, well, we're the media, and we're not covered by HIPAA. That means we didn't violate HIPAA at all during that phone call. In fact, the media can't violate HIPAA. But for Sally, it's a different story.
Clearly it is, Doug. EMS providers like Sally are covered by HIPAA.
But what about the fact that she was off duty, Steve?
Well, that really doesn't matter. You can't disclose PHI you learned in your role as a healthcare provider, even if you're off the clock. Doug, what does HIPAA say about disclosures to the news media?
Well, HIPAA prohibits EMS providers from disclosing any patient information to the news media. Now, even if the reporter already had the story cold and called Sally just to confirm that the driver of the car was Stone Brusher, she couldn't do that. Quite simply, HIPAA only permits disclosures of patient information to the news media where the patient specifically authorizes it in writing. EMS providers aren't allowed to give out patient information just because the media asks, and you simply can't volunteer patient information to the news media.
Remember, EMS isn't supposed to be about getting your 30 seconds of fame. It's about caring for people. And sometimes patients are in the most vulnerable, compromising, unflattering, or embarrassing positions imaginable. As EMS professionals, we come into people's lives at some of the worst moments of their lives.
Well said, Steve. And we're not just talking about national celebrities or curling superstars. The same rules apply to any patient. Quite simply, EMS providers are not allowed to give out this kind of information to the news media.
Let's switch gears now and talk about dealing with family members or other people who may be involved in the patient's care. HIPAA doesn't prohibit EMS providers from sharing information with the patient's family members, relatives, close personal friends, or others identified by the patient as being involved in their care. Let's go live now to our field reporter. Ryan?
I'm here outside the Smith residence where a patient is being loaded into the ambulance. And the patient's wife is standing nearby, appearing anxious and concerned, and nearly in tears as her husband is being loaded into the ambulance. Let's take a look at what's happening.
What's going on with my husband? Can anybody tell me what's happening?
Well, we're not sure. We're not doctors, but we think it's a heart problem.
Oh my God, is he having a heart attack?
Well, I can't say for sure, but we're doing everything we can. We've got him on oxygen, the heart monitor, we've started an IV, and we're going to give him some medications en route.
Can I ride with him?
Of course, you can sit up in the front with me.
Often there are family members, friends, and caregivers present when you show up on scene. HIPAA permits you to release information to family members or others involved in the patient's care. Sounds like the providers here got it right. Doug, back over to you.
Thanks, Ryan. Yes, it looks that way. HIPAA permits providers to disclose patient information to a relative, friend, or other person involved in the patient's care. This is also true, even if it's someone who merely helps the patient with their medical bills. You're allowed to share PHI with individuals if it's relevant to that individual's involvement in the patient's health care or payment for that care.
One instance where disclosures to family members are not in the best interest of the patient might be where the patient's injuries may have been inflicted by the family member, such as in a domestic violence situation.
That's a good point. And it's okay under HIPAA to let a patient's friend, spouse, or caregiver ride in the ambulance, but make sure that's permitted by your own organization's operational policies.
Sometimes folks read more into HIPAA than what it truly requires. HIPAA doesn't prohibit the exercise of common sense, and it certainly doesn't make sense to shut out a patient's spouse from all information about their loved one. You can tell a friend or family member where you're transporting the patient or other information about the patient's location. You can also inform a family member about the patient's condition, like if they have minor or significant injuries.
That's right, Steve. If the patient doesn't object, you can interact with those involved in the patient's care. If the patient is physically or mentally incapacitated, then you need to determine if disclosures to those other people is in the patient's best interests.
Now let's talk about sharing PHI with first responders and other EMS agencies on scene. Other agencies providing care on scene may share patient information with your EMS agency and you may share information with them when it's necessary to treat the patient.
When EMS is transferring care of a patient to a hospital or other receiving facility, it is customary to provide a verbal report, a written transfer of care report, and a copy of the full patient care report to the receiving facility. These reports may be shared with any staff members who are involved in the facility's treatment or payment activities. And HIPAA doesn't require that you give your verbal reports to the ER staff in some super secret, private, soundproof room. You can have a conversation in the general work area and speak in your normal voice. Remember to take whatever reasonable precautions you can to minimize the possibility of the incidental disclosures we talked about earlier in the broadcast.
And the same is true when EMS picks up a patient from one facility to transport the patient to another facility. Some facility representatives mistakenly believe that EMS providers are not allowed to look at patient records and that you're there merely to give the patient a ride to the other facility. Some may even tell you, don't look in that envelope, there's confidential patient information in there. Well, it's true that an envelope containing patient records is protected by HIPAA and may be confidential. But remember that HIPAA allows PHI to be shared between healthcare providers who are treating the patient. EMS providers are just as entitled to consult the patient's medical record for treatment purposes as are any other providers. And some of this information may also be helpful to your agency in getting paid for the services you provide.
Now, on to what you can and cannot access when it comes to PHI in our segment, Show Me the PHI. The general rule is that HIPAA permits you to access records for legitimate TPO purposes. Let's go back to our field reporter, Ryan, who is now at Brisk Billing. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Doug. I'm here in the office of Brisk Billing. I just learned that one of the billers, June, heard that her ex-husband was transported by an ambulance service that Brisk bills for. Just a side note, she's currently in a custody battle with him, and she thinks the run report might give her some good ammunition because she heard he was involved in an altercation. It looks like she's sitting at her workstation having some sort of internal debate. Let's get out my internal monologue monitor and see if we can listen in to what's going on in June's head.
Well, I don't usually bill for that ambulance service, but I do have access to those records. They'll never know if I just open it and take a quick peek at what happened. Besides, I'll just have my lawyer request the record if I need it for court, since she knows how to get medical records.
Well, that's quite the quandary, but it should be clear to our viewers that June shouldn't access this record. If June doesn't bill for that ambulance service, she has no business need to look at it. Bottom line, just because you have access to a record doesn't mean you should access a record. Back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Ryan. For our viewers out there, you should also know that electronic systems typically keep a record of users who access any patient data in what's called an access log. So even though the biller here didn't think she'd be caught, most systems would track her cyber snooping activities.
That's a good point. And agencies are required to periodically audit those access logs and to discipline staff members for improper access. Now, unfortunately, snooping and improper access can cost EMS professionals their jobs. It's just not worth it. Don't access a patient's PHI unless you have a legitimate job-related need for it.
Now on to workstations and mobile devices. Many EMS providers use tablets in the field to document patient care. Regardless of the device you're using, whether it's a tablet, laptop, or workstation, you should be aware of the security features. Let's talk about security features.
First, health information should only be accessed through unique user IDs and passwords. This is how your agency grants and tracks proper access to PHI. And don't share your password. If you do, it's going to look like you were the one who accessed the information if someone else logs in improperly.
Second, your agency should have role-based access controls. Most EPCR programs only allow you to see and change data for trips where you were the provider. You should only have access to the PHI you actually need to do your job. And you should only look at records when you have a legitimate work-related need to access the record.
Third, devices and workstations should have automatic log-off and lockout features when unattended. Don't leave devices and workstations unattended. Someone could walk off with a mobile device And unattended workstations can lead to unauthorized access to PHI.
Fourth, your agency should also encrypt patient information and only transmit healthcare data over secure channels. These features are usually built into EPCR applications. If you email PHI, your agency should use an encrypted email solution.
Finally, your agency should guard against improper storage and downloading practices. Don't download or save patient data or print it out unless you are supposed to for work-related reasons. And PHI does not belong on personal devices. It should only be stored on authorized company devices.
Thanks, Doug. In this Show Me the PHI segment, we focus on a patient right that you should know about, the right of access. It's the other side of the HIPAA coin. Patients have the right to access and obtain a copy of their PHI. Let's take a look at exclusive footage obtained from HIPAA TV's Biller Cam.
Yes, this is Bob Smith calling. I was taken to the hospital in one of your ambulances on March 2nd this year because I was in a car accident.
Hi, Mr. Smith. I'm Mary Money, a certified ambulance coder. I'm happy to help you. I just need to ask you a few quick questions first. Can you please verify some information for us? What is your date of birth?
June 12, 1959.
Okay, and can you please confirm the last four digits of your Social Security number?
4027.
Thank you, and one more question. Can you please confirm the address?
1234 Main Street, East Pontiac, Transylvania 12345.
Nice job on the biller's part. You should take some precautionary measures to verify the patient's identity before discussing their health information and before giving them a copy of the record. Here, the biller verified the patient's date of birth, the last four digits of his social, and his address.
And often EMS agencies will have an access request form that they will ask the patient to fill out if the patient wants a copy of the records. That's allowed under HIPAA. Always follow your agency's policy on access requests. Now back to our biller cam footage.
What was your question, sir?
Can I get a copy of that ambulance record? I'm thinking about suing the other driver. I'm sure the lawyer will want it.
Sure, we usually mail that out. Is that okay?
Can you just email it to me?
Sure, but for your protection, we prefer to use secure email that is encrypted when sending that information. So when I send it to you, you will just have to go through the step of setting up a secure account.
I'm not good with online stuff. I just got regular email. Can you just send it to my regular email? I don't want to go through the pain of setting up a new account.
Yes, sir, we can. Just know that the email isn't as secure.
When it comes to access, the patient is the boss. If your agency has a preferred method, like mailing the record to the patient, you can certainly ask if the patient would be okay with that. But if the patient requests another method, like Mr. Smith requesting that his records be emailed, then your agency must abide by the patient's request.
Note that the agency here uses secure email. That's a good practice. But the patient clearly did not want encrypted email. The biller did the right thing by honoring the patient's request to use standard email after warning him that it would not be secure. You should offer the most secure method and try to get the patient to agree. But ultimately, the patient is the boss.
HIPAA also allows those involved in payment, like family members and caregivers, to ask about patient accounts and request records on behalf of patients. But you should always ask other individuals to verify the same things about the patient that you would ask the patient directly before speaking with them.
Now, let's cover a common scenario, requests for records from attorneys.
Often, records are needed by attorneys for litigation purposes. Mr. Smith said he was thinking about suing the other driver and said his lawyer might want a copy of the PCR. HIPAA also allows for Mr. Smith's attorney to request a copy of his trip report. Usually, when an attorney is representing a patient, she'll send a written authorization to release medical records, signed by the patient or their legally responsible decision maker, authorizing you to send the patient's records to the attorney's office.
You can release the record to the attorney if you have the signed authorization from the patient. That's really a patient request, after all. You should not release records to an attorney based solely on the attorney's verbal request. Ask for a written authorization signed by the patient or the patient's legally responsible decision maker.
And sometimes the attorney may use a subpoena or other legal document to request PHI. These requests should be handled by the privacy officer or your agency's legal counsel, or to a specific person your agency delegates to handle subpoenas. If your agency has a certified ambulance privacy officer, that individual has received specific training about handling subpoenas and other requests.
There are also times when a personal representative may act on behalf of the patient and request access to a patient's records or exercise other rights of the patient. A personal representative is determined by state law, but typically that includes someone like a legal guardian, a power of attorney, a parent of a minor, or the executor of a decedent's estate. In those cases, the personal representative can exercise all the patient's HIPAA rights. Now, back out to Ryan, who's on location in the back of an ambulance. Ryan?
That's right, Doug. I'm in the back of ABC Ambulance's rig. The patient signed an authorization allowing us to film her here. She hasn't been feeling well for a few days, and her present condition is non-emergent. Okay, we're just about to the hospital.
Mabel, I need you to sign right here so that we can bill your insurance. I also have a copy of our HIPAA privacy practice for you.
Okay, sign here?
Yes, ma'am.
So this ambulance service has a stack of these notice of privacy practices in its ambulance. Looks like the provider did the right thing in this situation by offering a copy to the patient. He also had her sign their EPCR, and I noticed that the language on the tablet said that the patient was acknowledging receipt of the notice of privacy practices. Doug, back over to you.
Thanks, Ryan. HIPAA requires healthcare providers to have what's called a notice of privacy practices, or NPP. The NPP tells patients about their rights under HIPAA. Every patient should get an actual copy of a provider's current NPP. But the rules are different regarding when the patient should receive the NPP. It depends on if it's an emergency or a non-emergency treatment situation.
That's right. If it's an emergency treatment situation, the patient doesn't have to be given the NPP at the time of service. In other words, if the patient is under duress, unconscious, incapacitated, or having a medical emergency, don't worry about providing the NPP. Just focus on patient care. If there is someone with the patient, such as a family member or a nurse at the hospital, then you can leave a copy of the NPP with them. Just make sure that you document that you provided the NPP to that person.
In a non-emergency treatment situation where the patient isn't under duress, then you should give the NPP to the patient at the time of service, just like the provider we just saw. In non-emergency treatment situations, you must also attempt to get a signature from the patient acknowledging that they received your NPP. And as we just saw, usually the same patient signature you get for billing purposes will serve to acknowledge the receipt of the NPP. Most agencies combine those signatures into one, but make sure to check with your agency on how they do it.
Sometimes the patient might refuse to take the NPP, and you can't force them to take a copy. If they refuse the NPP, just document that.
In our experience, most patients are able to sign a signature form at the time of service. Giving the NPP to the patient and obtaining their signature at the time of service is the easiest and best way to comply with HIPAA's NPP requirement. If the patient doesn't get it at the time of service, the agency then has to follow up and mail a copy to the patient, or it may fall to your agency's outside billing company if you use one. So if you can, try to give the NPP to every patient at the time of service, and always make sure to document whether you gave the NPP to the patient. Many times, that simply involves checking a box on your EPCR.
Finally, when it comes to a refusal of care or transport, your agency is still collecting PHI even though no care or transport was actually provided. You should furnish or at least offer your privacy notice to patients who end up refusing care or transport, just as you would with other patients. And you should make good faith efforts to obtain the patient's signature, acknowledging that they've received your privacy notice.
In our final segment, we cover an important HIPAA rule called the breach notification rule. In some cases, HIPAA requires EMS agencies to notify patients and the government if their PHI is breached. Let's look at some exclusive clips obtained by HIPAA TV showing examples of potential breaches.
First, we find two providers grabbing a bite to eat, or so they thought.
Finally, we get to sit down and actually eat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you want a refill?
Yes, please.
Box 5011, Smith Township, 125 Main Street. ALS emergency for cardiac arrest. Ambulance 50 and Medic 51 are due at 083.
So much for that.
Yep.
I forgot the tablet. Oh, thank you. You're a lifesaver.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. I didn't look at anything.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
If you ever leave a device unattended like the providers did here, you should report it to the privacy officer or supervisor, even if you don't think someone looked at the information.
That's right. If you lose a device or leave PHI unattended where someone had an opportunity to view the information, your EMS agency will have to determine whether there was a breach by looking at things like the security measures on the device and how long it was out of your possession. But the important point to remember is this, that you need to report when a device is lost, even if the device is promptly recovered.
Now, let's look at another clip we've obtained where two providers are watching other first responders at the scene of a vehicle crash.
This is good stuff, man. Look at his face.
You can't be videoing patients.
Look, this isn't even our patient, and I'm not gonna show it to anybody.
You just posted it. You can't do that.
Relax, I'll read it.
You saw the medic here take issue with what his partner did, and rightfully so. You shouldn't take pictures or video patients on personal devices, period. And here, the medic went even a step further by sharing the video.
The sad reality is that we've seen this happen many times in EMS, and there have been serious consequences. Videos of severely injured and even deceased patients have gotten back to family members, and providers have lost their jobs and their reputations over incidents like this.
The medic that witnessed this should report this incident to the privacy officer or a supervisor immediately, because now the agency is looking at a potential breach.
Finally, let's watch as a biller encounters one of the latest threats hitting the healthcare industry today, ransomware.
That's weird.
Hey, what's up?
I just opened an email from a friend of mine who sells Mary Kay stuff, and there's a coupon attached. When I clicked on it, my computer froze up. Could you come over here and take a look at this?
Sure, no problem. Huh, that's weird. Did you try Control-Delete?
No, wait. Oh my gosh, look at this!
Holy crap, that isn't good.
Let's just turn this thing off.
Yeah.
Holy crap is right. It looks like the biller here inadvertently downloaded ransomware, and now some of the files at her company are inaccessible.
Ransomware is a type of malware that locks down your information and requires you to pay money to unlock it. If you ever think you've been hit by some type of virus or malware, the first thing to do is shut down the computer or disconnect it from the internet and your agency's network right away. Then you should immediately report the event to a supervisor.
That's right. The longer you delay in letting someone know, the more your system could be infected and the less time you may have to recover your data. If you notice things like your computer's running more slowly than normal, you navigate to a website you think is malicious, or you open an attachment you think might have malware, tell a supervisor right away.
You shouldn't download files, apps, or programs from the internet or from email unless you're authorized to do so. Don't open emails from unknown senders, and don't open any email attachments if you are not expecting the attachment without first confirming with the sender that it is legitimate. Only visit trusted, secure websites.
Bottom line, if you see something that might compromise PHI, you need to report it. If your EMS agency determines that the event is a breach, your agency might have to notify the patient and the federal government about what happened.
Everyone, whether patient care providers, billing staff, supervisors, or managers who know of or even suspect an improper use or disclosure of PHI, must immediately report the incident to your organization's privacy officer. This is true even if you see your partner or a coworker make an inappropriate disclosure. A code of silence isn't acceptable. The organization must be informed so that it can meet its legal responsibilities to make the required notifications in the event of a breach. Patients have a right to know if their information has been improperly shared, even accidentally. And not reporting a suspected breach could get you in hot water with your employer.
That brings us to the end of our broadcast. But before we go, we have a few parting words.
Remember that HIPAA limits the ways in which EMS providers, administrators, billers, and others involved in healthcare may use or disclose a patient's protected health information. But we can usually use and disclose PHI when we need to for treating our patients, submitting claims for payment, or conducting quality assurance and other healthcare operational activities.
Also, remember, you must always act in a way that upholds the ethical and the legal responsibility that we all have to protect the confidentiality of patient information. Protecting our patients' information is a 24-hour-a-day job, and it's the responsibility of everyone in the organization, not just the privacy officer. Each of us has the professional obligation to respect the privacy of our patients and to protect their interests.
Be sure to visit our website, pwwemslaw.com, for much more information about HIPAA and other EMS law topics. And visit ambulancecompliance.com to find out how to become a certified ambulance privacy officer. On behalf of all of us at HIPAA TV, thanks for watching.
Before you leave, or
no, do you have any questions?
So, well, like I was saying earlier, like the one thing I've run up against is people coming to me with like an issue they've had and sharing it with me, and that it's not really appropriate for me to reiterate that to someone else. And what I did was said, well, if you could write me a letter, and then I could address it that way, and that's the correct thing to do.
That is the correct thing to do, either that or direct them to specifically to whoever it is that you know they're wanting to talk about or any whoever they want to get information from, and they can talk to them and fill out whatever appropriate paperwork is. But if they're asking you to do something on their behalf, having a letter from them saying that they're okay with you sharing that information, that is the only way that you really can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. I'm going to leave the ride-along forms with Nathan, so if you decide that you want to do that, you can fill one out and just leave it on my desk, or you can come by at another time. And if you want to come by, I don't know how much of the video you actually saw, but if you want to come by at another time to finish it, then I'm here Monday through Friday. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
It was pretty basic. That video did not cover the security rule, which I think is important at the level that you're going to function at.
Security rule?
Yeah, I can give you a bunch of information on it, but there is a security rule about how things have to be set up. It didn't cover business associate agreements, which this ILA could be interpreted as one, and the issues with that. They need to be looked at. The other thing, thinking forward, as an integration happens, the PHI data for billing and or being covered for 7 years, a statute of limitations issue on a suit like the guy that wanted to sue somebody, somehow that has to be figured out if there's going to be an acceptance of that by FHIR to follow through on those or PhD is going to follow through on those. And there has to be an agreement, and in that agreement, both parties have to be HIPAA compliant, and the agreement has to be HIPAA compliant between them. This didn't get into, this is just basic, if you're on a truck, information. Mm-hmm. But there's much more to HIPAA than just what you saw there.
Okay.
And if you want, I will get you all that information. You can read about it, and you guys can go from there if you have further questions. And during the last couple of months, I have talked to different HIPAA compliance programs about checklists and things so that we know that we're doing what we need to get done. I can share that with Carl or Norvin or share it with you, whoever you want. But I'm cleaning out my garage of all my research, and you can have it.
I think that would be appreciated, yes.
Okay.
Everybody?
Yeah. Yes.
So you just let me know, and I'll keep this file, and I'll go over it with whoever wants to work with it.
Okay.
And I've given some information to Heather so she can work on it. So.
Okay.